Today we're going to do Tainus Daf Yotes. We are beginning the third parak of Maseches Tainus. The third parak of Maseches Tainus is often referred to as Pirka de Chasida. It is the parak with all the stories about the very interesting and wonderful people that we read about in this third parak. So there are lots and lots of stories, pretty much 5-6 spots straight of stories, and that begins at the very end of today's daf. First, the Mishnah is going to go through different saros that we've already been discussing, fasting for lack of rain, but we're going to discuss other types of saros, and all of which really the fast has to come immediately, and there is no waiting period and levels till you get to the point where it's a serious fast like the last 7 fasts. These saros are so significant that we're going to list 6 different saros that we fast immediately in the most serious way, and then the Mishnah is going to list 6 saros that we are matrian b'kol makom, that we cry out for wherever we are, even if you just hear about it, even if you're not experiencing the tzara. Then the Mishnah is going to go through 4 tzaros that we're matrian even b'Shabbos, that we even cry out for on Shabbos. And then the Mishnah is going to tell us the famous story of Choni Hama'agel, and the Gemara is going to, or the Mishnah at the end of the Mishnah is going to talk about what if it rains during the fast. You're fasting for rain, and then all of a sudden it rains. So what do? Do you keep on fasting, or do you not keep on fasting? We discussed it a little bit previously. We're going to discuss it again. And then the Gemara is going to define what a famine is, meaning how bad it is till you call it a famine, and it's going to talk about different types of rain that could be beneficial to different types of produce, which we've also already discussed earlier in the Masechta. And then we're going to talk about during Shemitah year, what we are matria for, what we cry out for during Shemitah year, if after all the produce is all hefker anyway. So we're going to discuss that. Then the Mishnah is going to talk about being mashlim for when it rains for when it rains on time, and for when it rains a lot. So the Gemara is going to talk about we're going to talk about a different different ways of understanding the rain, when it rains a little bit, when it rains a lot, what kind of message HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending us. And at the very end of the daf, which we're not going to get to today probably, the Gemara is going to start the story of Nachtiman Ben Gurion, when he borrowed a lot of water from somebody with a guarantee that he's going to pay it back, that he's going to pay back the wells full of water by a certain amount of time. But again, we're not going to get to that today anyway, so we'll save that for tomorrow. So let us begin. Zak the Mishnah, we're beginning the third parak now on the Baron Daf Yurchas of the Beis. Say there, Tanyos Elu Hamur Berviya Rishona. All the Tanyos we've been speaking about until this point, where you had the first 3, where only the Yechidim fast, and then the next 3, and then the big 7. That was all only Berviya Rishona. That's when it comes to the first rainy season, when there hasn't been enough rain. Aval Smachim Shashanu Matrin Alei Miyad. If you have growth, something that's growing from the ground, but it's growing in a very unusual way, it's all messed up, so then we'll be Matriya Miyad. We don't wait. We right away get into the Chomer of the 7 last fast. This is Machlokas Rishonim, how to understand this. Rashi understands that exactly like I just said, that we're knowing all the chumras of the last fast days for tzmachim that grow in an unusual way, and that's how the Ran understands Rashi. However, the Rashash later on Daf Chav Beis is medayik from Rashi, where Rashi says umelo tanur demasnisin lihisanos. Sounds like that in general, when it says matrian, it means not to fast, like the Shitas Harayv against what we said from the Ran and Rashi over here. So the Rashash doesn't understand why the Ran thinks that Rashi holds that matrian means that we fast. He says, no, maybe matrian just means we cry out, not that we fast with all the severity of a regular fast. Even according to the Ran, you have to say that sometimes when it says matrian, it doesn't mean to fast, because the Gemara says that the Mishnah is going to go on to talk about things that we are matrian b'Shabbos, and we don't fast on Shabbos for all those things. The only thing we ever fast for on Shabbos is Yom Kippur or Tainus Chalom. So there is no fasting for all these other things. So matrin sometimes certainly does not mean to fast. But anyway, Rashi and Tosfos over here seem to say that the idea of matrin means that we have the full chumrah of the 7 last fast days. The Ritva and the Ran quote from the Ravid that matrin, when it doesn't give more detail, the word matrin just means to cry out with the shofar, to blow shofar, but not necessarily to fast. And the reason that we wouldn't fast for such a thing is that the unusual growth of produce is not necessarily something that's going to lead to famine. Lack of rain will necessarily lead to famine. So that's the Ravid's explanation. The Ritva doesn't like the Ravid's explanation. He says, if that were the case, the Tana should have said, Avot smachim shashanu matrin alehem, and the next word should have been Bilvad. It should not have been Miyad. Miyad makes it sound like we're going to treat this more seriously than everything we've been talking about until now. If you wanted to say you're going to treat it less seriously than everything we've been talking about until now, you should not use the word Miyad. You should say Bilvad, that all we're going to do is be Matria. We're not going to do anything more than that. So the fact that he uses the word Miyad, says the Ritva, indicates that perhaps Rashi and Tosos were onto something over here. V'chein, further in the Mishnah, V'chein, Shepasku Gishamim in Geshem L'Geshem Arboim Yom Matrin Aleim Neshi Makas Petzores. If it doesn't rain for 40 days between the first rain and the second rain, also it's something we'd be Matria right away, because that's a Makas Petzores, that's going to lead to famine. Yordu L'Tzmachin Avalo Yordu L'Ilan. What if it rained in a way that's beneficial for vegetation but not beneficial for fruits on the tree? Or L'Ilan V'lo L'Tzmachin, it's beneficial for fruits on the tree but not beneficial for vegetation, or it's beneficial for all sorts of produce, but it's not raining in a way that's going to be beneficial for filling up water cisterns and boros and things like that for a water supply. So for those things, since we need all three of those things, even if it does rain, but it doesn't rain in the way that's going to be beneficial for all three of those things, so we're matria right away as well. The chain, fourth case where we fast right away. If you have a city where it didn't rain, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes to the Klala and he says that in one city it will rain, the other one won't rain, that one place that will have water, the other place will dry out. So that's apparently a Klala, to have a nearby location where it's raining and this location where it doesn't rain. So the halacha is also here mis. That city where it did not rain fasts and cries out with the shofar. The cities around it fast, but they are not matria. They do have to fast, but they don't have quite the severity of the city that lacked the rain. So Rashi over here writes that kol svivoseh misanos v'lo matrios, so the fichach misanos, the reason that they fast is sha'osa yir shelo yordu ala gishamim telech liknos ha'tvua ba'osa yir v'yeba ra'av, because where do you think they're going to get their tvua? They're all going to come to the city where they did have rain, and that's going to lead to a famine there, because they're going to buy out their entire stock. I mean, if the local supermarkets and local farmers markets are used to supplying X number of people, but now they have to supply two times X number of people, that's obviously going to be a big strain on their ability to supply sufficient food for everybody. The Ritva writes that we could prove from this Mishnah, the Ritva tries to prove that this Mishnah is talking about where the surrounding cities did have rain, and it's only in this city it didn't have rain, from the fact that it quotes the Pascal Dira Chasamtir. So you see that what he means to say is that the din of the Mishnah is similar to what's going on in the Pasuk, that it only rains in one place, but it doesn't rain in the other place. So the Ritva says, but why should that be true then, that the surrounding cities would have to fast? They had rain, why should they have to fast? So the Ritva says that you can't say that they're Misana because someone else is in Sara, because of the other people that are in Sara, because for someone else's Saros, we're not Matria with anything other than Bipeh. The Gemara already said in Daf Yudalit that we're Matria b'Shabbos al Yirshi Kifu Agayim, but Bipeh v'lo b'Shofar, because Shofros you don't do on Shabbos. And even on a weekday, we're not Matria b'Shofar, and we don't fast, it's just we cry out when someone else is in pain. And the Ritva goes on to say, you also can't say that they need to fast because of their own Sarah, from the fact that the neighboring city didn't have enough rain, so so it's a simin that there's some sort of klala associated with rain, and that somehow affects them. Because if that's the case, then why would they fast? We're not matriya mesana al rov hatova. They did get rain. They shouldn't have to fast for something good that happened to them. So the Ritva quotes that a yesh shetirtu, that they really are fasting for tsaras chaverim. They're fasting because they feel the friend's pain so much. And the reason they have to fast in the neighboring cities is purely because they relate to and they're having empathy with for the people that don't have the rain. When it says Aleilu Matriyim B'Shabbos, that's referring to Dafka B'Peh and not B'Shofar, that's because over there we're talking about where the Bali Atzar themselves are not fasting and they're not Matriya for themselves. So someone else, if the Bali Atzar themselves aren't fasting, so no one else is going to have to fast. But over here we're dealing with where the Bali Atzar themselves are fasting. So if the Bali Atzar themselves are fasting, then it maybe makes more sense that the neighboring cities also should have to fast. Okay, and then the Ritva quotes a totally different understanding, that it's not talking about where one city had rain and the other city did not have rain, because then the Tanna should have said, Beza Yaros, Be'echad Yarduk Sham, Be'echad Lo Yarduk Sham. It's not what he says. That's not the Lashon of the Tanna. So in fact, it doesn't say that. It sounds like even in the year that even in the city that it did rain, it didn't rain sufficiently. It only rained a little bit. And that's why in the second city, where it didn't rain at all, the people who live in that city have to be choshesh. Maybe they're included in the gzeira, and that's why it only rained very little bit. So they're both suffering, and only because they're both suffering do they both actually have to fast. Weiter in the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva Amar Matrios Lo Masanos. Rabbi Akiva says the neighboring cities would be matria, but they would not be required to fast. V'chein ir sheyesh b'dever, fifth thing that we would fast on right away is if there's dever, if there are people dropping dead all over the place. O mapoles, or a sixth thing, if there are buildings caving in all over the place, that are buildings that otherwise don't look like they should be caving in, that are breaking, that are just falling down. O siir misana matras, v'kol sivoseh misana silo matrios. So that city is misana umatria. All the neighboring cities are misana, but they're not matria. Rabbi Kiva matrios lo misanos. Rabbi Kiva says they're matria, but they're not misana. Ezu dever. What's the definition of dever? What does it mean, people are dropping dead? Ira motzia chamish meos ragli, v'yatzim men gimel mesim, b'gimel yom zecher zeh, hareza dever. If there are 500 people that live in that town, and over the course of a day, of 3 days, three people died on three consecutive days, that is the definition of dever. Pachos mikan ein ze dever. If it happens any less frequently than that, it's not dever. Al ilum period. It's not that would not be that would not be considered dever. So it's interesting when we put together two things, dever and mapoles. That if there's dever and mapoles, you fast right away. And then the Mishnah defines how many people have to die for it to be called dever. What the Mishnah does not do is define how many walls have to fall down, how many buildings have to cave in, for it to be called mapolas. The Mishnah never defines that. So this is a discussion in the Rishonim. How are we supposed to define it? So the Ritva writes that it must be that the shear is the same, that it's three houses in three different days, because gimel batim dumi de gimel mesim. The only thing is, the only difference, he says, is by the falling houses, it wouldn't make a difference how big the city is, because it's not based on the number of people, it's just houses that are falling in. When we're dealing with people dying, so in any given city there are going to be a lot of people that die if it's a very large city, so obviously it's only reasonable to assume there's some sort of plague if you have a small population and a lot of people dying. Now the Rambam writes that Noshim, Ketanim, and Zakenim, who do not do malacha, are not included in the minyan anshei medina. When we take the poll and we figure out how many people there are in terms of figuring out whether we in fact have 500 people, the Rambam writes in Perek Beis Halacha Hilchos Tanios, and it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch as well, the elderly, the women, and the children don't count. And the Ritva says, yeah, we're medayik that from the fact that it says chamesh meos ragli. Ragli is mashma dafka, people who go out to work. The women and the children generally stay home. The Ran is medayik not from the word ragli, but it says hamotzia chamesh meos ragli. Motzia implies the people who are on the move, who are out, who are going out and about. So it wouldn't include people who generally stay home. The Magen Mishnah says, no, the dig is from the word ragli. Pasuk says Shmos Perek Yibes Ragli Hagvarim Levad Mitaf. that specifically when the Chumash uses the word ragli, it says explicitly that it's talking about the gevarim levad mitaf. The only thing is that would exclude women and children. That would not exclude zakenim if it was purely from that pasuk. Yeah.
Is it 3 people per 500? Or if you have a city that's 100,000.
That's
people.
A good question. I didn't see any discussion about that. I would imagine it would follow proportion, meaning proportionately that if you had 1,000 people, then it would be 2 people a day for 3 days, I would imagine. The Lecha Mishnah points out that when we count the number of people in the city, we gauge the size of the city based on how many young men there are in the city. But the people who die don't all have to be young men, meaning that's just a general gauge for the size of the city. The people who die may be maybe women, children, etc. as well. Okay. The following things are things that we have in Atria B'kol Makom. Wherever you happen to be, you have to cry out wherever you hear about this. Now, it's interesting. B'kol Makom sounds like literally wherever you hear about it. So nowadays, where we have, you know, the day of the internet and social media and everything else, where you hear about everything immediately, L'chora, this is the kind of thing that you would have to fast about everywhere. Beis Yosef just points out that the Rambam never mentions that we're Matria on anything B'kol Makom. And he says, we have to understand, why would the Rambam leave this part of the Mishnah out? It's a Beferish Mishnah. So he says, the Pashas of the Mishnah is Mashma, that it's only on these things that would Matriya B'kol Makom, because it's a Makama Halechas. These are things that are traveling issues, meaning these are problems that if it's in one place today, it's going to be in another place tomorrow. But other tzaros, like rain or Dever Mapolas, were not Matriya in very distant places. So the Rambam was bothered. How could it be that Dever is not considered a Makama Halechas? That it's Yadua that Dever is a Makama Halechas. That when you have plague, when you have something, some sort of disease that's spreading, it spreads, and it spreads from one city to the next fairly quickly. Not only that, if there were Misa'ana even in very distant places, so then we would always have to be fasting. I mean, especially nowadays, we have to be fasting for everything all the time, because there's always something going on somewhere. There's always bad things happening anywhere. Just turn on the nightly news and you have to fast. If it bleeds, it leads. So then the first story you hear on the nightly news every single day, you would have to fast because we're hearing about it. So maybe that's why, says the Beis Yosef, the Rambam must have understood that when the Mishnah says Aleilu Matrim B'kol Makom, doesn't mean Makomos HaRechokim, it means the nearby areas. And the Mishnah says, when the Mishnah said on Matar and Dever Mapolas, that city fasts and is Matras and Tzvivosel, the neighboring cities are Masanos V'lo Matrios, and Rabbi Kiva says that they're Matrios V'lo Masanos, that's what the Mishnah is saying, that the Mishnah is building off of that list, and the Mishnah is saying Aleilu Matrim B'kol Makom, not only the things we listed until this point, this is the way the Rambam understands, not only the things we listed until this point, might you fast somewhere outside of that city, also in the neighboring cities, but in the following list, we can add the following items also to the list of things that you would fast for in neighboring cities, but not at a great distance, because that would make no sense, because then everybody would be fasting all the time. So what are these things that we would have to fast for, again, according to Rashi, everywhere that you hear about it, and according to the Rambam, at least in neighboring cities? So number one, alashidafon, if the grain is wind blasted and therefore destroyed, valayarkon, if there's some sort of disease called yarkon that people are suffering from, vala arbe, vala chsil, if there are grasshoppers and types of pests that are eating up all the grain in the field, vala chayara, if there are evil wild beasts that could kill people roaming around, vala cherev, if there are enemy soldiers that are looting and threatening to kill people, matrin elamineshi makama aleches, if you have a group of soldiers that's traveling from town to town or any of these things going around, so it can move quickly from one town to the next. Meisah shiyardu zekenim Yerushalayim l'areihim. One time the zekenim left from Yerushalayim, from the Lishkos HaGazit Sanhedrin, and they went back to their own cities. V'gazru tainus al shenirakam lo pitan or shidafon ba'ashkelon. And there goes their tainus, because they saw how much shidafon, just the size of the opening of an oven worth of shidafon in one field in Ashkelon, and they said right away, okay, we got to fast. They were also gozer tainus when wolves attacked and Rachman al Tzlan ate 2 children in Evra Yardin. Rabbi Yossi Amalal Shachlu al Shaniru. Rabbi Yossi says, no, they didn't eat the children. It's just they even were seen and they had come into the city, so that frightened everybody. Everyone knew there was a scare because there are wolves around town. So that's all that it was. It wasn't that they actually ate children in the city. So again, in this parak also we have just one Mishnah, and it's one very long Mishnah, so really it should be probably be broken up, but the editors of the Vilna Shas did us a taiva of putting in two dots every once in a while in this Mishnah so we can know. Yeah, and we have the parentheses later on. Yeah, so to let us know. Al elu matrin b'Shabbos. The following things are things that we're matrin b'Shabbos. So again, new discussion now. The following things are things that we would cry out for even on Shabbos, and they are al ir shekifor nachrim. If the city was surrounded by Gayim, o nahar, or there was an overflowing river that threatened to flood the city. Valasfina mitarefz biyam. If you have a boat, presumably that had a lot of people on it, that was lost at sea. Rabbi Yosi Omer la azara v'lo l'tzaaka. On Shabbos, you can cry out for help, but you can't cry out in tefillah just to be tzoik takarish baruch hu. Shimna Timni Omer afala dever v'lo hodu l'chachamim. Shimna Timni said that you're allowed to cry out on Shabbos for dever as well, but the chachamim did not agree. So what does it mean that we're matri on Shabbos? So Rashi says it means be'aneinu, that we say aneinu, and that's what the Ritva writes as well, that it's tzaaka, and even on a weekday the din would be the same. And we're saying that on Shabbos, you're allowed to be tzoik b'peh. The Rambam writes that we're mis'ana aleim b'Shabbos, and we're zoik mis'chanan aleim b'tfilah. So the Kesef Mishnah wonders, where would the Rambam get the idea that we're mis'ana aleim b'Shabbos, that you fast for these things on Shabbos? Right? What did the Mishnah say? That we're matriya b'Shabbos. Did not say that we're allowed to be mis'ana on these things on Shabbos. So he says it could be that the Rambam explains when the Gemara said in Daf Yudalid that matriin v'aneinu means tfilas aneinu, that we say dafka on a fast day. So from the fact that you're saying aneinu, it must mean that there is a fast going on even on Shabbos. But those who are cholik on the Rambam hold that matriya ba'aneinu means misha'ana Rambavin bar, etc. To say all the misha'anas, but it's not the aneinu of Shmona Esrei. When the Tur quotes the Lashon of the Rambam, he writes v'zo'akinu mischaninin b'tfilos b'Shabbos. And he leaves out the word mis'anin. So the Kesef Mishnah says that must be the correct girsa of the Rambam, where there is no fasting on Shabbos for these things. We in fact do not fast on Shabbos for these things. Al kol tzara shalotavol atzibur matrin alein. For any tzara that may come about, we're matria for any tzara. We blow shofar for any tzara. I don't know if you saw after the three boys were kidnapped, so in these massive tefillah gatherings they had at the Kotel right away, and they had shofars, they had people blowing shofars at these things. So you wonder, is that real? Like, what's that for? Why do they do that? So al kol tzara, it says we're supposed to be matriya lehim. Sounds like we're supposed to blow shofar when any tzara happens. In fact, the Magen Avraham isn't sure why the practice is not that way. He says, I don't understand, why don't we do that? There are plenty of tzaras, so there's plenty of reasons to blow a shofar, so why aren't people blowing shofars at all the tzaros? So even though in a chinami there's no tainis tzibur b'bavel, but there's a mitzvah that koa even when there's no tainis. So the karmen sanal is miyashev, that the pasuk says v'chisavo melchama ba'artzechem ala tzara tzoreschem v'hareyos v'chatzotzos. Sounds like it's dafka mitzvah la Torah to be tokea in Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Rambam writes. V'murim b'chatzotzos b'lvad b'gvulin, meaning outside of the Mikdash, but gvulin means still within the borders of Eretz Yisrael. So it's only in Eretz Yisrael that we would do it. So maybe that would explain why we never see it done in Chutz La'aretz, but in Eretz Yisrael maybe it makes sense to blow a shofar once in a while when you have a very big tzara. Prim Gadim says that it's dafka b'tzibur that there's a mitzvah l'tkala, and it's only in Rov Yisrael that would be considered a tzibur for this din. But a single kihila maybe would have a din of a yachid for this halacha, and that's why the minig is not to blow shofar. But if the whole tzibur gets together, which means Rov Yisrael gets together, then it's something that would warrant the blowing of a shofar. So all these tzaros were matrin aleim chutz merov gishamim, except for when there's too much rain. Because you don't cry over too much bracha. It's like crying that you have too much money. Maisa shamrula l'choni ma'agel. So the Mishnah tells a famous story. They tell the story that they once told choni ma'agel, his fellow shiardu gishamim, please daven that it should rain. So he said, if I'm a daven, then it's going to rain. So you may want to bring in your carbon pesach ovens that are going to get ruined in the rain. You know, go clear out your yard for fall, you know, like you normally would before the winter comes. His follow liyardu gashamim, and he davened, but then it didn't rain. So what did he do in response to this? Ag uga va'amad b'tochei. He drew a circle in the ground, and he stood inside that circle. Va'amal l'fanav, and he said, Ribono shalom, b'necha samu p'nei amalai sh'ani k'ben b'ayis l'fanecha. Your children are all looking toward me for help because they know how close I am with you. Nishpani b'shimcha gadol sh'ani zoz mikan at sh'trachim al b'necha. I swear by your name, Hashem, that I will not move from here, I will not budge from here until you have rachmanus on your children. Hischilu g'shamim minatfin. So the rain started to come down in a drizzle. Amar lo kach sha'alti, I didn't ask for a drizzle. El gishmei baruchich lemaros. I asked for a rain that could fill in all the water holes. So hischilu there bezaf. It started to pour. Amar lo kach sha'alti, didn't ask for that either. El gishmei ratzon brachu nedava. I wanted the proper type of rain that will be seen as a bracha, as a pure bracha. Yardu ketiklan, so it rained properly, but it kept on raining properly for a long time. Achi yatzu yisol miyushalayim laharabayis mipneg shamim. To the point that they had to leave Yerushalayim and go on to Harabayis to get to a higher elevation in order to avoid the rain. The Tori Evan has a very sharp kasha over here. He says, he asks it in Maseches Megillah, actually, in Daf Chav Ches, that Harabayis has more Kedusha than a Beis HaKnesses does. Because Rekika and Minal are Mutter in a Beis HaKnesses, also in Harabayis. You're not allowed to wear shoes in Harabayis, you're allowed to wear shoes in a Beis HaKnesses. You're not allowed to spit in Harabayis, you're allowed to spit in a Beis HaKnesses. So there's more Kedusha than Beis HaKnesses. Yet, the halacha is that you're not allowed to make a Beis HaKnesses kapandria. You're not allowed to make a Beis HaKnesses into a shortcut, and you're also not allowed to be nichnas into a Beis HaKnesses b'gishamim mipnei ha-gishamim. You're not allowed to go into a shul during the rain to protect you from rain. So he said, what were they doing? They went to Harabayis to protect them from the rain, but the Harabayis is more Kedusha than the Beis HaKnesses. So how are they allowed to go to the Harabayis to protect them from rain? You're not allowed to go to even a Beis HaKnesses. You're not allowed to go to protect yourself from rain. So the Birka Yosef suggests that maybe Birka Yosef says that the mice of Choni HaMa'agel shiny. But he doesn't say why. He just says must be different. The mice of Choni HaMa'agel must be different. But he doesn't say what the reason that it would be different is. So it's a little bit shver. Why would they go in the Yerushalmi? It's mochiach that Harabayis used to have a roof over it because they were going to protect themselves from rain. Not just from the Yerushalmi understands that it wasn't just to get to a higher elevation, but they were going to protect themselves from rain hitting them. You know, it was like they didn't have raincoats, so they're going to protect themselves from rain. Maybe they went to daven, right? I mean, they needed to daven that it should stop also. Good, that could very well be. Someone came over to me this morning and told me that Rav Nevensal asked the following kasha on the halacha, that you're not allowed to use a Beis HaKnesses as a shortcut. So the Shulchan Aruch says that you're not supposed to use a Beis HaKnesses as a shortcut, so what should you do? You should sit and learn something. What if you don't know anything? You can't learn anything. So even halacha achas, you don't know anything. So then you should just sit there for a little bit, because even sitting there for a little bit is a mitzvah. Even Ashrei Yoshev Vesecha, the Shulchan Aruch quotes the pasuk, Ashrei Yoshev Vesecha, even sitting in shul for a little bit is a mitzvah. So if you don't know anything to learn, you sit there for a little bit. So Nevensal asked the following very sharp kasha. He said, if you know that you're supposed to sit there for a little bit, can't you learn that halacha? You have to learn the halacha. So just go in and learn the halacha that I'm supposed to sit here for a little bit. No, it's a very sharp kasha. So someone came up to me this morning and said, I think I have a teretz to the kasha. He said, the halacha is that you're not allowed to learn when you have to go to the bathroom. So maybe you're using the Beis HaKnesses as a shortcut to get to the bathroom. So if you're using it as a shortcut to get to the bathroom, you're not even allowed to sit down and learn that halacha. So because you're not allowed to sit and learn, but you could just sit down. So, very good. Okay. So says the Mishnah further. Bo va'amrulo. So they went and they told Choni HaMa'agel, Kishem shespalata aleim sheyardu kachas fal sheyelchalen. Look, you daven that it should rain, but now you got to daven that it should stop. Amrulahem yet tzu'u ru'u im nimches evan atowin. He said, go see if the water level has risen above evan atowin. Shalach lo shim ben shetach. Shim ben shetach sent a message to Choni HaMa'agel, il molik choni ato gozani alecha nidui. If you weren't who you are, if you weren't Choni, I would be gozer and nidoy on you. I would put you in cheirim for the way you speak to the Ribbono Shel Olam with such chutzpah. Aval ma esalach? What am I supposed to do? Shata mischate lefnei makom, that you speak with such chutzpah. You sin in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'osalach ritzoncha, and he just keeps doing things for you. He keeps doing favors for you. Kibenshu mischate alav v'osalach ritzoncha. It's just like a spoiled child that keeps on acting with chutzpah toward his parents and whining or whatever. And all they do is they just keep giving in and giving him more and more. V'alecha kasav omer yismach avich v'imach. So, Baruch Hu is so proud of you for whatever reason. Don't know why. eye, but Hakadosh Baruch Hu apparently has the apple of his eye. No matter, you could do no wrong. So I can't put you in nidoy if Hakadosh Baruch Hu apparently doesn't have a problem with it. In the Pnini Halacha section of the Masifta, he quotes from a Tshuvas Imre David, where he was asked about someone who had a terrible tzara, because of that, the only way to avoid, to get away from his tzara, there was some sort of decree the Malchus had against him, was for him to hold an official position as a rabbi in the Jewish community. So he begged them, he said, please, my only way to get out of, to dodge whatever draft or whatever it is that he was going to be in trouble for, he said, I need to be an official rabbi. So they said, sure, we'll make you an official rabbi, but you're not getting a salary, and you have to take a shvua that you understand that you're not getting a salary. So he said, sure, in writing, he took a shvua, I understand I'm not going to get a salary. And then he sued them for a salary. And they said, well, what do you mean? You took a shvua and you wrote it, we have it in writing. He said, yeah, but it was ba'anus. He said, I was desperate because I was trying to escape the tzara. I never would have taken the shvua if I didn't have that honest. Who's going to work for free? Why should I be the rabbi of the community for free? So it was all because it was all based on an onus. And we know that Allah is Paskin Shulchan Aruch and Yodas and Reish Lamed Beis, that if someone who's honest b'shvua, so the shvua is not a shvua. So the Imre David says, not a taina at all. He says, for a lot of reasons. One of the reasons is that a shvua's onus is only when someone did not yet have the tzara, and in order to avoid the tzara, in order to make sure that the tzar doesn't come to him, he takes the shvua. Like someone is ma'anis you to take a shvua, and you say that if you don't swear, then I'm going to beat you up. So in order to avoid that tzara, in order to avoid the beating, you take a shvua. That's a shvua's ones. That's a shvua that's not a binding shvua. But someone who's already in trouble, and he's using the shvua as a way to save himself from the trouble, that's a shvua that's for his own good, and it's not called the shvua's ones, and such a shvua would be binding him. Says, how do I know that? How do I know this yesod? From the mice of Choni HaMa'agel. Because what happened with Choni HaMa'agel? It wasn't raining, and Choni HaMa'agel draws a circle, and he says, I take a shvua that I will not leave this circle until it rains. Well, he could have left the circle anyway. He only took the shvua because there was an onus. He took the shvua out of onus. So why did he? So why do we assume that the shvua is binding? So it must be that the shvua is binding because the tzara was already there. If the tzara wasn't already there, then the shvua would not be binding. That's the raya that he quotes to answer that shaila. So the Mishnah continues. Perhaps the parentheses over there. The Mishnah continues. The new masnisin is a talus hadfus. It says on the side. Let's say they were fasting and then it started to rain while they're fasting for rain. So if it rained so early, it was before Netzachama, so then you don't even finish the fast. If it rains after Netzachama, then you do finish the fast. Rabbi Lazar says before Chatzos they don't finish the fast, but if it rains after Chatzos, then they do finish the fast. Rashi says because Chatzos is the Zman Achila, that's a time, Rashi doesn't say it here, but he says later on that Chatzos is a time when people eat. So if they didn't eat yet at the Zman Achila, the Zman Achila already passed, and they didn't eat, so then it's the full force of a tainus was already chal on them because they missed a meal, since that was the Zman Achila. So Shvus Yaakov is machiach that if you start to daven or to reach or to say Shema, and then a person becomes an onain, so he has to finish the tefillah, because at the time that he began the tefillah, he was mechuyv bedavar. So he says the same thing as over here. If you begin the fast and you're mechuyv bedavar at the time that you begin the fast, then you need to be mashlim the fast. So he says maybe that would be the same halacha when it comes to an onain. So that's the ha'ara that the Shvus Yaakov has quoted in the Pischei Tshuva in Hilchos Avelos. It quotes that lemaisa that someone's in the middle of Shemona Esrei and they say you just became an onain. He finishes the Shemona Esrei. Okay, the Maisa Shogazu Tainis Bulud. One time there goes a Tainis in Lud, Vyardilam Gisham called him Chatzos, and it started to rain before Chatzos. Amalam Rabbi Tafran, Suvichlush Suva Asu Yom Tov. He said, anyway, you're not working today. You took the day off to fast, so don't just go to work, go home and make a Yontif and celebrate the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave you what we're davening for. Vyatsu Vachlu Vishasu Vasu Yom Tov. They went, ate and drank, and they made a Yontif. Ubo Ben Arbayim Vikaru Halalagadol. Then came Mincha time, they came to Shul. And they said, Halalagadol. A lot of times people, that message is lost on people. There's a lot of crying out into Tehillim and whatever when there's a tzara. But we sometimes forget to say thank you to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We sometimes forget to acknowledge that our Kadosh Baruch Hu did something for us. Even in Ben Adam L'Chaveru, sometimes you have that. When people are suffering terrible, they go and they go to Gedolim and they try to get brachos and they tell all about their tzaras. But they never go back and say, Baruch Hashem, things turned out okay, to stop davening. I forget who it was. They tell the Maisa about that, that it was years after someone had come to him, he saw someone again, from which of the Gedolei Yisrael it was, and he said, "Nu, what's doing with whatever?" And they said, "Oh, he got better years ago already." So he said, "I've been davening every day for him. How could you have not told me that he got better years ago?" We sometimes forget to report back when something good happens because we're not so excited when something we're not so desperate when something good happens. But we have to remember to report back on the good also to the Ribbono Shel Olam also. Seder Taniyos say Ilu Amar Bervira Rishona. So the Mishnah had said that all of the Taniyos we've been talking about until this point are only for the Revira Rishona for the first rainy season. Uruminhi, Velaskastira, Revia Rishona, Shnia Lishol, Shlishis Lisanos. The first and second Revia, we don't yet fast. We just are Shol Gisham. It's the third Revia that we fast for. Some Revia Dach, this is what it means to say. Say the Tanya Sa'amar, A Masai, Bizman Shiatsa Revia Rishona, Shnia Shlishis, Veloyod Gisham. The Tanya that we've been talking about until this point is if the first, second, and third rainy times come and it hasn't yet rained. Avoyod Gisham, Revia Rishona, Vizarvel, Samchu. But if it rained already by the Revia Rishona and you planted and nothing came of it, or you planted and something came of it, but it came out with a very big shinui, something strange happened, grew weirdly, that we cry for right away. It's only if it grew in an unusual way, but not if it dried out. So pshita nishtanu tonight, of course, it says nishtanu. So no, lotzricha de hadar. It should be the Hadar Akun. I think it changes it too on the side. So that the case is that it grew a stalk again. Mal detema akanta milsehi kamash milan. I might have thought that that's significant, and therefore, since it was ala bekana, I would have thought that that's significant. That since it was ala bekana and it's not yet fully ripened, so if we're not going to cry out for it, it's not going to grow properly. So kamash milan, that it's not really an important. It's not really something that we're worried about, even though it grew a stalk over it. Still, it could still grow more and could still come out okay. Things might still turn out properly, so we don't have to cry about it yet. We also said if there's a 40-day lag between rains. So my makas pitzoras. So we said that's going to be makas pitzoras. What is makas pitzoras? When do we define something as being pitzoras? Amrav Nachman nahara anara. When in order to get food, you have to go from one part of a river to another part of a river, meaning you have to transfer food by boat over a river. So that's when you have pitzoras. That's pitzorta. Medinasa amedinasa kafna. When you have to schlep things from one Medina to another Medina, that's kafna, that's famine, that's total famine, and that's worse than Bitsores, because you can't even bring things easily like by boat. If you could buy a saw of grain for one sella, and it's available, it's expensive, but it's available, that's called batzores. Arba v'lo shchicha, even if you could buy four saws of grain for one sella, but it's not available, then kafna. Then that's considered even worse famine, because if you just don't have the food available to you, it doesn't matter how cheap it is, if it's not available, the stores are all out of it, so that's going to be a worse kind of famine. Amar b'yochon l'shono l'bizman sh'amos b'zul peros b'yoker. That's only when it's easy to find money, not easy to find fruits. Avamos piyoker, but if it's hard to find money, uperus bezul, but easy to find fruits, matrina le miyad. That you'd cry for right away. Damra biyochan and nihirna karavakaimi dalz in besela. He says, I remember when you could buy four saws for one sella, vavu nefishi nefichi kapant betveria midiles isar. But since no one had any money, people were becoming bloated from famine. If you ever see starving people, their stomachs become bloated, that's what was happening because of the terrible starvation, since no one had any money to buy anything. Then the Mishnah had spoken about when it rains enough for the trees, but not for the vegetables, not for the trees. Says Gemara, Bishlam Lutzmachim Lo Li'ilan. Kamalan, I understand how it could be that it rains enough for the vegetables, enough for the trees, Mishkachsa dasanicha v'lasarazia. If it rains gently, so that works for the vegetables, not for the trees. Li'ilan v'lasmachan da'asirazi v'lasanicha. It works for the trees and not for the vegetables when it comes down in force, but it doesn't come down gently. Lozel lozel v'lo l'baros l'shichl u'ma'aros Mishkachsa da'asirazia v'nicha. And I understand how it's good for the trees and the vegetables, but not for the baros l'shichl u'ma'aros if it comes down hard and soft, but miyutuva lo asya, but it just doesn't come down enough to fill the water holes. But how can it possibly have a rain that will fill the baruch shichl maros, but will not be beneficial to the trees or the vegetables? So da asya b'shvichusa, if it comes in a single flood, it just like pours out with koch gadol, with more power than even a tree could handle, where it's not good for the trees or the vegetables, but it will be enough water to like a camp rain. We haven't had it yet, thank God. But you know, like where it just feels like it's not even drops that are coming down, it's just like buckets, literally, that are coming. So that kind of thing will fill up the burrows, but it isn't really good for anything. So, Tan Rabbanan, Matriya Lilanos Biprosa Pesach. We're Matriya on the trees Biprosa Pesach, 15 days before Pesach. Ala Boros Shichl Ma'oros Afilu Biprosa Chag. Ala Boros Shichl Ma'oros, even 15 days before Sukkis. Val Kulun Mainland Mayim Lishos Matriya Lemayad. But if there's no water to drink, people ran out of potable water, so then we're Matriya right away. Vezu Miyad Shalhan, Sheni Vechamishi Vesheni. What does it mean, Miyad? The next month, Monday, Thursday, Monday, so we'll make a series of fast days. But all these fasts we only do in their local government, in their local town, the local country where they're having the problem. Askara, which is a type of horrible disease, when people are dying from it, then we're matria about askara. When people are not dying from it, then we're not going to be matria about askara. Now it's interesting. Askara, before when we spoke about dever, again we quantified what dever is. Over here it just says when people are dying from it. So the Ritva says, it doesn't say in the Gemara how many people have to die from it, and how many days, and how short a time span is it like dever or not. So he says it must be that that it's talking about a situation where the disease is going around. So once three people die from it, whether they die in one day or they die in 3 days, if the disease is all over the place and a few people are dying from it, that would be enough. He just says that misvara. But he says dafka by dever, they said a shear of three people in 3 days, because by dever we don't know that it's the same disease. It's just on people dying, so it could be people dying from a different disease. But when you have a disease where you know what the disease is and everyone's suffering from the same disease, so then you don't have that requirement of 3 days and three people dafka in 3 days. The Rambam, when he quotes this, says harishayor choli echad da nashim harbe bosa yir. If there's one illness that a lot of people are suffering in the same city, Gon, Askara, Ucharchor, Chayotziben, Voyumesim, Bosa, Choli, Harezu, Tsaras, Tzibor, Vigozrin, Latinus, Matrin. That's a Tsaras, Tzibor, if people are dying from it, and right away we have a Tinus. So the Pesos says, why doesn't he Mechalik, whether if they die, if three people die in 3 days, or for every 500 people, or they die in 1 day, or 4 days, like we do by Dever? So the Beis Yosef says that Dever is different, because the Zman, there's no Zman for the Choli, since it could be the climate that's causing Misa. So anything that's so it's only by something that might be climate related or something like that we would say three people in 3 days, if in a city of 500 people. But something that's a known disease, I mean, it's a known illness, maybe we would say a little different. So you can really go either way. You could say askara is more chamor than dever, that by askara, even if two people die in 1 day, you should be matria. I don't know, it doesn't say explicitly in the Mishnah. You can really have gone either way. Umatrin al gavai b'chol shehu, and we're matria on gavai, that the grasshoppers that come and eat all the tavua, even if it just happens a little bit. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer af al chagav, even on chagav, other types of grasshoppers that come and eat the grain. Tan Rabban, matrin al ilanos b'shar shnei shavua. We do cry out for ilanos even specifically during non-shmita years. Al boros v'al shichl maros afilu b'shvius, and for boros shichl maros even during shmita. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer af al ilanos b'shvius mnei sheish ben parnasa la'aniim. We even have to cry out when the trees are bare during Shemitah, because those trees are going to support aniyim. Tanya idach, meaning even though it's hefker, but aniyim are allowed to come and take from it. Tanya idach, we have another brisa that seems to say exactly the same thing. Matriya anilanos b'shar shnei shvua alaboros v'alshichon alaboros afilu b'shviyas. We're matriya anilanos during non-Shemitah years and on the water holes during Shemitah years. Rav Shimon li'alomer afal li'alanos matriya anilasvichon b'shviyas mnei sheyesh ben parnasa l'aniyim. Even on the trees, even though you're not allowed to work the trees, but anything that happens to grow on them, it's worthwhile to cry out that those fruits should continue to grow during Shemitah year because they support the aniyim. So it just mentions the word svichin, but it's really the same thing, it sounds like. Tanya, Amar of Lezman Partim, Yom Shechar Beis HaMikdash, Nasu G'sham Tzimukin Li Olam. From the days that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, rain became like the punishment of choice. It became the difficult thing to figure out and to, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to punish us with. Yeshana Shegshamem Rubin, Yeshana Shegshamem Muatin. Sometimes you have a year where there's a lot of rain, and sometimes not so much. Sometimes it rains on time, sometimes not. When it rains on time, what's that like? It's like a person who gets paid, and it literally doesn't mean an evit doesn't get paid, but it means a worker who gets paid on Sunday. So it turns out that a lav, or maybe it means an evit who's getting his food ration, and he gets it ready on Sunday, so he gets it early enough in the week that everything, he can plan it out, and he never has to worry, and everything is just right for the whole week. What's that like if it doesn't come on time? Where it only comes on Erev Shabbos, so then it turns out, then everything's going to turn out that he doesn't have time to bake everything properly and to make everything properly, and his bread's not going to be so good. When there's a lot of rain, what's that like? It's like the master paying the evit all at once. So it turned out that the mill will, you know, whenever you put something in a kli, you're going to lose a certain amount when you take it out, because there's a certain amount that gets stuck to the walls of the kli, gets stuck in the cracks. So you don't want to have to use the mill five times for the amount of produce that you could have put in once. So if you get everything one lump sum at the beginning, so it's great, you can use the mill once and you only lose out that mashu one time. And similarly, when you make a dough, if you make one big dough, so the mixing bowl and wherever else that gets a little bit of dough stuck on it, you're only going to lose that amount once. So that's great. So no matter how much dough you have, you're only going to lose that amount. When there's not so much rain, you know what it's like? It's where the master is only giving the parnasa day by day. So every day he's got to go to the mill, and every day he's got to make a new dough, and he loses that little bit every day. The Rechaim is eating up all the produce. Another way of saying, when there's a lot of rain, what's it like? It's like a person mixing cement. If he has lots of water, so then the water won't run out, but the cement will get mixed very well. And if he has a little water, the water will run out and he won't have very good cement because he will not have been able to mix it very well. Okay, we'll stop there. The next thing is the story of Nachum Ben Gurion, which continues on to well into Chaf HaMinal. So tomorrow we start 5-6 straight plot of stories.